ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యంకరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ we discussed in detail this sankshepa vakyam, the nutshell statement of brahmavit apnoti param, the knower of brahman attains supreme or moksha, and also a brief commentary on this statement using a quotation from the rigveda which the upanishad itself quotes, namely సత్యం జ్ఞానమనంతం బ్రహ్మ యో వేద నిహితం గుహాయాం పరమే వ్యోమన్ సో ఓష్ణుతే సర్వాన్ కామాన్ సహ బ్రహ్మణా విపశ్చిత ఇతి. బ్రహ్మణా విపశ్చితేతి, దట్ ఇతి శబ్ద, ఇట్ డినోట్స్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ కొటేషన్. అండ్ అట్ దట్ టైమ్ వీ సెడ్ దట్ ది రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మానందవల్లి is only an elaboration of these ideas, which we are going to see some of them today. We will read. Tasmātvā ye tasmādātmana ākāśa sambhūtaḥ ākāśād vāyuḥ vāyor agnihi agnerāpaḥ adhya prithivī prithivyā oṣadayaḥ ఓషధీభ్యోన్నం అన్నాత్ పురుష సవాయేష పురుషో నర సమయ. ఇన్ దిస్ పోర్షన్ ఏ న్యూ టాపిక్ ఇస్ ఇంట్రడ్యూస్డ్ ఇన్ ద ఉపనిషత్, ది టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్, సృష్టి ప్రకరణం. అండ్ త్రూ దిస్ త్రీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఐడియాస్ ఆర్ కన్వేడ్. అండ్ ది ఫస్ట్ ఐడియా ఈస్ ది రియాలిటీ or the satyatvam of Brahman, that is revealed. And how it is revealed? In the Srishti Prakaranam, Brahman is said to be the cause or the karanam, and the world is said to be the effect or the karyam. Brahman is karanam and the world is karyam. And if you really analyze a cause and effect in general, we will find that before the origin of any effect, the karyam, the karanam or the cause was, during the existence of the effect also, the karanam is, and after the resolution of the effect, karyam, also karanam will be. For example, if we take the pot analogy, which we use very often, before the origination of the pot, the clay was, and after the production of the pot, the clay is, and after the resolution of the pot also, the clay will be. That means clay exists in all three periods of time. Whereas the pot comes and goes, it is temporary. So, karanam is trikale api vartate, whereas karyam is anityam, it is temporary. Not only that, the clay can exist independent of the pot, whereas the pot can exist only depending upon the clay. That means the karanam, the clay, exists in all three domains of time and also has independent existence, whereas the karyam, the pot, is temporary and does not have independent existence. That means karanam is satyam and karyam is mithya. We call it mithya. This is applicable actually anywhere. If we take gold, gold is satyam and all the ornaments made out of gold are all mithya. Wood is satyam, all the furnitures, the table, the chair, all those things, they are all mithya. And if you remember this, we can say here that Brahman is karanam and all others are effect the karyam. So we can conclude that Brahma satyam, jagat mithya. So in the Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, in that statement, the Satyatvam of the Brahman is very clearly established here, because Karanatvat. Brahman is Karanam and the world is Karya. So the Srishti Prakaranam clarifies the definition of Brahman as Satyam. This is the first idea that is conveyed through the creation, the Srishti Prakaranam. Now if we take the second idea, which is establishing the Anantatvam of Brahman. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. The Anantatvam of Brahman is established here through the second idea. How? If we take the Jagat as Mithya, as unreal, as we saw earlier, then we can say that the unreal world cannot limit the real Brahman. And so, Brahman is Anantam. Otherwise, what will happen? If the world and Brahman are both real, then Brahman will be limited by the world and the world by Brahman. So through Srishti Prakaranam, what do we really prove? The world is Mithya, reason being Karyatvat. It is like pot. Once the world Mithyatvam is established, Brahman has to be Anantam, because the real entity can be only one. It is like, for example, if you have a cup of coffee and there are two people, naturally, the quantity of one is going to be limited because it has to be shared with the other. So more number of people, more will be the limitation. For example, if we imagine that I have a cup of coffee and I am surrounded by 10 mirrors around me, and in each mirror there is a reflection. Are we worried about the 10 reflections? No, we are not worried about the 10 of them at all, because we know that the Mithya numbers cannot be counted. For counting purpose, I should take only myself, since the others are only reflections and are unreal or Mithya. Similarly, Brahman also is, and there is no second real countable thing that is to limit Brahman. Therefore, the Anantatvam of Brahman also is clearly established, which is the second idea through the Srishti Prakaranam. So, Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheda, Shunyatva, Siddhihi. Now, we will see the third significance of creation also, which is the revelation of Brahman through a method called Adhyaropa and Apavada method. This is a method which we use many times in Vedanta, which is the revelation of Brahman through this method, Adhyaropa Apavada. And this method has four steps. For example, if we take the pot example, if a person has got pot and I want to reveal clay, how do I do that? First, I introduce pot as an effect, as karyam, and the next effect is to introduce the karanam. And these two steps are known as the adhyaropa steps, where I talk about the karyam and introduce the karanam. And the third step is, for example, if our vision or drishti is fixed on the karanam, clay, we can see that there is no pot at all other than clay. And so in this third step, I negate the pot. This is the third step, the pot negation. Okay, and the fourth step is going to be, if the karyam pot is negated, then the clay cannot be named as even karanam at all. Therefore, you negate the karana status, the karanatvam of the clay, that is also negated. So here we should be careful. In the fourth step, we are not negating clay. We are negating the title karanam, or the karanatva status of the clay alone is negated. That means there is neither karyam nor karanam. Clay was, clay is, and clay alone will be. Then what is pot? Pot is vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. Pot is nothing but a name, does not have any independent existence at all. Thus, the third and the fourth steps together, that is called apavada or negation. and the first and the second steps are called adhyaropa and the third and fourth apavada. So to summarize, in the adhyaropa apavada method, what are the four steps? Introduce the karyam, introduce the karanam, negate karyam, and negate the karanatvam. And if you go through these four steps, what happens? Our vision changes from the vision of pot, pot drishti, to the vision of the clay, clay drishti. Pot drishti has been replaced by clay drishti. Similarly, in place of pot, if we take this entire universe, and in the place of clay, if we take Brahman, here also, by using the adhyaropa apavada method, what should we do? The jagat drishti, the vision of the universe, has to be replaced by Brahman drishti. So what will be the four steps here? First, the jagat or universe will be introduced as karyam effect. Then introduce Brahman as karanam. And in the third step, negate the karyam, the universe, that it does not have an independent existence. So jagat nishedaha. And in the fourth step, once jagat is negated, Brahman cannot be said to be even karanam. Therefore, there is neither karyam nor karanam. Karya, karana, vilakshanam, brahmaiva, kevalam, asti. This is the adhyaropa apavada method, which Shankaracharya sums up in his Aparoksha Anubhuti very beautifully. He says, karyehi karanam pashyet. See the effect in the karanam. See the pot in clay. Paschat karyam visarjayet. Thereafter, give up the karyam. And then, karanatvam svato nashyet. The karanatvam of the clay also is gone. Avasishtam bhaven munihi. What is left out, avasishtam, is that Brahman, which is nothing but I, myself, I, the Atma. So, in Srishti Prakaranam, it is called the Adhyaropa Prakaranam. It is a preparation for the later Apavada, which is to be discussed later. And what is the purpose of Adhyaropa Apavada itself? It is for revealing Brahman. Here, Brahman is introduced as Karanam and the world as Karyam. Incidentally, there is also another point that we should consider. When we say Brahman is Karanam, is it Kevalam Brahma or Brahma alone, or is it Maya Sahitam Brahma? Brahman Maya coupled. We have to remember again, Brahman alone cannot do anything. It is neither karyam nor karanam. And so the moment Srishti Prakaranam, creation comes, Brahman must be in association with Maya. From Maya Sagitam Brahman, the world came. Or Maya Sagitam Brahman is the karanam of this universe. And the other name of Maya Sagitam Brahma is incidentally Ishwaraha. This is one point we should remember. And the other point is, when we say jagat karanam in the adhyaropa apavada prakaranam, the nature of karanam also must be remembered. Because the basic question, what would be the basic question? Whether Brahman is nimitta karanam, the instrumental cause, or the intelligent cause, or the upadana karanam, the material cause. Karanam could be either nimitta karanam or upadana karanam. Is Brahman the instrumental or intelligent cause, or the upadana karanam, material cause? Since Brahman is anantam, only one infinite, and it is non-dual, it should be both nimitta karanam and upadana karanam together. It cannot be either one of them, it should be together. So Maya Sagita Brahman is abhinna nimitta upadana karanam jagataha. This is the second point that we should remember. And the third point to be remembered is, in the adhyaropa apavada prakaranam, we discuss karyam and karanam. So here, which karanam we specify, whether it is, which karanam is relevant here, whether it is nimitta karanam or upadana karanam. For example, if we take our own pot example and clay example, which karanam was relevant there? Only the material cause. The clay alone was relevant. We never talked about the pot maker or the wheel that is used to make the pot. None of them we talked about. The nimitta karanam, which are all the instrumental cause, the nimitta karanam, we never discussed them at all. So in the Adhyaropa Apavada Prakaranam, the relevant information is Upadana Karanam only the material cause, and Nimitta Karanam the instrumental cause need not be discussed at all. Here also Brahman is introduced as Upadana Karanam even though it happens to be Nimitta Karanam also. But this aspect is not discussed here at all. So from that we know that Maya Sahitam Brahman, the Upadana Karanam, the material cause, from that the world came up. Now let us see the meaning with this background of the portion that we just read. Tasmatva etasmat atmanaha akashaha sambhutaha. First, the creation of the five gross elements is talked about here, the panchabhutas that is mentioned. In the panchabhuta srishti, generally, actually the Tattva Bodha, which we are going to start from next Tuesday, we are going to see several of these details in nice discussions, because many of them are fundamentals to Vedanta. When we come to Brahmananda Valley, we assume a few of those things, but we are going to deal all those who cannot perhaps understand some of these elements, these terminologies, it will be all made clear during the Tattva Bodha lectures. So in the Panchabhuta Srishti, first the subtle elements, the Sukshma Bhutas, the subtle five elements are created first. And thereafter, after a process called Panchikaranam or grassification, the gross elements, as we see and experience, they come about. Both are mentioned together here in this case. The Upanishad does not separate them here. So tasmat means from that Brahman. Which Brahman? The one that was introduced in the beginning as Brahmavit Apunodi Param, that Brahman. So samkshepa vakyoktam Brahma, that is the meaning of tasmat here. And later, what did the Upanishad do? It said the very same Brahman is yoveda nihitam guhayam. Brahman itself is this Atman. That's what is said, that Brahman is this Atman. So the Upanishad says, etasmat atmanaha, from that Brahman, which is this Atman. Actually, in fact, this very statement is as good as Mahavakya, aham Brahma asmi, because Upanishad says that Brahman is this Atma. And from that Brahman, the world, the Panchabhutas came. And here, the pronoun also is important. When we say Brahman, we say that. So it is parokshat nirdishyate, as if it is somewhere else. We say that Brahman, as if it is somewhere else. And when we say about the world, the world came out of this Brahman. Here the pronoun is this, which indicates aparokshatvam. So paroksha brahmanaha, which is nothing but aparoksha atma. From this Atman, what was born? Akashaha sambhutaha. From this Atman, akashaha sambhutaha. The akasha, actually the creation is going to be in what order, that also is very important. The subtlest will be created first, then subtler, still subtle, then grass, grasser, and the grassest. Therefore, the later products will be grosser than the earlier products in this rule. So akasha is subtler than vayu. Akasha, the space, is subtler than vayu, the air, the wind, which is subtler than agni, which is subtler than water, earth, which is grosser than all others. So the creation comes in that order. Then the question will be, how do we know whether a thing is subtle or gross? How do we find that out? The more the number of properties, the grosser the thing will be. That is the general rule. Guna adhikyat stulatva adhikyam. So Brahman being nirguna, which we saw earlier, it has no attributes at all, Brahman. It must be the subtlest of everything. And how do we produce the grosser effects? Because Brahman is the subtlest, then how do we produce the grosser effects? By adding one after the other various gunas, various attributes. For example, by adding guna number one, karyam number one is created. Adding guna number two, karyam number two will be created, and so on. is like what? For example, if we take cotton, out of the cotton, when we give a particular shape, it becomes a thread. The thread itself, when it is arranged in a particular way and given a shape, it becomes a fabric. And the fabric itself, stitched in a particular fashion, becomes a shirt. Therefore, if we take now cotton plus guna number 1 becomes thread, and thread plus guna number 2 becomes fabric, and fabric plus guna number 3 becomes a shirt. Or we can also say cotton plus guna number 1 is thread, cotton plus guna number 1 and 2 is fabric, cotton plus guna number 1, 2 and 3 is shirt. So cotton with 3 gunas becomes shirt, 2 gunas fabric, 1 guna is a thread, and the cotton is the subtlest and the shirt is the grossest. Or we can take it vice versa also. Once you remove all the gunas, you go to the fundamental entity or the mula karana. Therefore, here also, akasha is the product which must have been born by adding the first attribute or the first guna to the nirgunam Brahman. Brahman nirgunam, to the nirgunam Brahma by adding the first guna. So, nirguna Brahma plus guna number 1 is akashaha. And that guna is called shabdaha, the sound. So, when we add the attribute of shabda, the guna shabda, to Brahman, we get akasha. So the shabda guna, that came from where? Not from the nirgunam Brahma. We have to understand that clearly. Sabda, the shabda property, the sound property, does not come from nirgunam Brahma. It is actually the addition of guna is the job of what? Is the job of maya, which is saguna, which is with attributes. Brahman is nirgunam, but maya is sagunam. So similarly, akashat vayuhu. From the akasha, the karanam, vayuhu was born. From akasha, these are all subtle elements, and they go through grassification, become grass later. How does it become? By adding one more guna, that is akasha plus guna number 2, is that guna number 2 is sparsha, the touch. Or alternatively, Brahman plus guna number 1 and 2 is vayu. Two gunas, sound and touch. So, vayu has two properties, sound and touch. And what is the immediate cause of vayu? The immediate cause of vayu is akashaha. But what is the ultimate cause of vayu? That is nothing but Brahman. So, for every one of them, there is an immediate cause and there is an ultimate cause. And vayoho agnihi sambhutaha. Out of vayu, which has got two gunas, agni is born. Fire is born. So, vayu plus guna number 3 equals agni. That is, the third guna is rupam, the form. Or Brahman plus guna 1, 2 and 3 equals to agnihi. It is getting grasser and grasser. And agnehe apaha sambhuta. Out of agni, waters are born. The various waters, they are all born by the addition of another guna called taste or rasa. Or we can say Brahman plus 4 gunas, 4 attributes equals water. Then adhyaha prithivi. Water plus guna number 5 equal to prithivi, and the guna number 5 is gandha, the smell. Or we can say Brahman plus guna number 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha equals prithivi. So, prithivi should be the grossest of all the 5. How do we know it is the grossest? Again, it has all 5 gunas, and so it can be recognized by all the 5 sense organs. But in the case of others, they have less number of gunas, less number of attributes, and can be recognized only by less indriyas, less sense organs. Akasha by only 1 indriya. And finally, Brahman by no indriya, because it is given as it is given very beautifully in Kathopanishad, ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, tatarasam, nityam, agandavachayate. Since it is devoid of all the 5 gunas, it cannot be recognized by any indriyas. Any sense organ cannot recognize Brahman. Okay, then what we have to remember here is each of the elements got one immediate cause and also an ultimate cause, which is Brahman. So when karyam, when an effect is born, it should have the property of its material cause. This is the law. For whatever effect, whatever karyam is born, it should have the property of the karanam, the material cause. Karye karana guna anuvrittihi. When we apply this logic, then we can find that prithivi is the product of what? Prithivi is the product of water, which has four gunas. So all the four gunas are pervading the prithivi. Only thing is what? In addition to that, there is also an additional guna, gandha, the smell. And so on for the other elements also, we can extrapolate the same thing in the case of other elements also. That means all the karanas lend their property to their karyam. Every cause lend its property to its effect. Then if that is the case, if Brahman is the mula karanam, Brahman also should contribute something. Because if every karanam gives something to its property to the karyam, Brahman also should lend something to the karyam. Otherwise, Brahman cannot be called karanam at all. And what is the contribution of Brahman, if we ask? It is satta, the existence principle, which we discussed earlier in the last class. Brahman alone gives sat. And so we say, akasha is, vayu is, water is, that isness, that is the existence principle that is lent by the Brahman. So when we say akasha is, akasha, the shabda guna of akasha is there, and also the satta aspect of akasha also is there. The shabda guna is given by maya, and the satta guna is given by Brahman. Similarly, in the other elements also, the existence is given by Brahman, and maya gives the other gunas. So how do we say that Brahman is the fundamental cause? Because that also we have to understand clearly. Because Brahman satta, the existence principle that is lent by Brahman to all other elements, that pervades all the effects, all the karyam. Brahman is called mula karanam or root cause, because the satta, the existence principle of Brahman pervades through all the effects. If Brahman is not the cause for any particular thing, then what will happen? It will not have Brahman's nature, because karye karana guna must be there. Then the satta of Brahman will not belong to that X, and that X will become asat. It won't become sat, it will become asat. So any blessed thing that exists shows that it has borrowed the satta, the existence from Brahman, and so it is Brahman's karya. That is how we conclude. So really speaking, when we say that akasha has one guna, we should take it as two attributes, the shabda aspect and the satta aspect. The shabda aspect given by maya, and the satta, the existence principle given by Brahman. That satta is the contribution of Brahman. So the five elements in the gross order have been created. So starting from akasha, it went grosser and grosser and came to prithvi. So all the five elements have been created. Then what is created after this? Then after this, prithivya oshadayaha. Prithivi plus the further Ramarupas, further attributes from added to prithivi, that give rise to oshadayaha. Oshadayaha means the plants and trees. Normally, oshadi means herb. In this context, it is the entire plant kingdom. Actually, osham dayati iti oshadihi. Osham means Vaishwanara Agni. Agni means it is the burning in the stomach, the Jatara Agni, the burning in the stomach, that which the quenching the hunger. So then oshadebhyaha annam. Out of the plants, the annam, the food, is created. Actually, Upanishad perhaps takes us all to be vegetarians. It does not say from animals annam. It says only from plants annam. That means oshadayaha plus various namarupa. We can call these various namarupa as cooking perhaps. Annam comes, adding various gunas and the doshas also perhaps. food, annam comes about. Okay, then comes finally annat purushaha. Actually, in the in 5-6 steps, the Upanishads has come from Brahman to the physical body, to the gross body of every one of us. Brahman has just taken only 5-6 steps to bring us right from Brahman. And here we should know purushaha. Purushaha here denotes the gross body, the sthula shariram or the gross body. Sometimes the word purusha is said to denote Brahman also. Angushta matraha purushaha. Upanishad itself says somewhere else. In that context, the purusha refers to Brahman. But in this context, it is annat, annamaya koshaha bhavati. Purushaha means annamaya koshaha, the grass body, the food sheath, the annamaya koshaha. That is, annamaya koshaha has an immediate cause in annam and the ultimate cause in Brahman only. Even though it's a grass body, it has an immediate cause in annam, in the food we consume, and the ultimate cause in Brahman only. Or Brahman, we can say it in other words, Brahman plus varieties of gunas, namarupas, varieties of gunas, that is the annamaya kosha. Therefore, the Upanishad says, sava, that Brahman only. Saha means actually upariyuktaha, it is brahmatma ityartha. So, it's said in masculine, pullingaha. Saha atma va, va means why. Avadharanarthe, that Brahman alone is indeed. Yesha purushaha is this human being, the manushyaha, consisting of annarasamayaha, of annarasam, the essence of food, consisting of the essence of food. Because that Brahman alone, with the addition of gunas, is now manifesting as annamaya kosha. So, karanam eva karya rupena abhivyajyate, that karanam alone is now appearing as karyam, the effect. Cotton alone is now appearing as the shirt. That is why this purusha shariram is called annarasa mayaha. Mayaha means modification and annarasam means the essence of food. Therefore, annarasa mayaha means it is a body which is the modification of the essence of annam or food. Why do we say so? Why not it is the modification of the food itself? Why should we say it is the essence of food? Modification of the essence of food and not the food itself. We cannot say because if the body is modified form of food, which will mean the body should be full of food only, hanging all over the body perhaps. Therefore, the food itself is not becoming the body, but it modifies to become carbohydrates, proteins, sugar, minerals, etc., etc., which are known as annarasa or the nutrition and the nutrients. And the physical body does not absorb annam, but it absorbs only the annarasa. And so the bone, the flesh, the blood, all those things, they are all born out of annarasa. And the whole body is only annarasa vikaraha, modification of annarasa. Vikara means modification. Modification of annarasa. Actually, Shankaracharya, he makes a very nice point here. He says, why should the Upanishad say that the Purusha Shariram is Annarasamaya? Why not cow's body or elephant's body? That is also Annarasamaya only. Even if we take the non-vegetarian animals, like for example, a tiger, it may eat a goat. Still, it is Annarasamaya only. The question is, why the Upanishad say that Purusha Shariram is Annarasamaya? Shankaracharya says that the Upanishads are read only by human beings. So, Purushanam eva Vedante adhikaratvat. Here, Purusha includes stri also. We should understand clearly. Purusha means includes ladies also. So, humans. So, humans alone have the adhikara, the qualification for the study of Vedanta. A cow is not going to study Vedanta, only Purusha. They are only going to study Vedanta. So, Shankaracharya, incidentally, he talks about the glory of human beings also. He says, Chaitanyam is maximum manifest only in humans. Chaitanyam is maximum manifest only in humans. So, the Upanishad says, Yesha Purusha Dehaha or Manushya Dehaha Annarasamayaha. Okay. What is this Purusha Shariram, the final product? The final product, the Purusha Shariram, what is this? Upanishad says, Sava. It is indeed that Brahman. this Purusha Shariram, this final product is indeed that Brahman. So it is none other than the Moola Karanam Brahma. We can understand this without any problem based on the discussion we had earlier. So with this, the topic of Srishti Prakaranam or Adhyaropa Prakaranam, that is concluded. So the Upanishad concludes the topic of creation up to this. Now we have to enter into a very, very crucial topic, the Apavada Prakaranam. We only did the Adhyaropa Prakaranam. Now we are going to the Apavada Prakaranam, which begins from the next sentence, which we can read. Tasyedame Vashiraha Ayam Dakshina Pakshaha Ayam Uttara Pakshaha Ayam Atma Idam Puccham Pratishta Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. Here we have to understand a lot of things before we proceed into the text. Several facts have to be understood. As we said earlier, the Apavada Prakaranam is beginning here, which will end only at the end of the fifth section. This is what we are doing now, only the first section. It goes up to the fifth section. And Brahma Puccham Pratishta Tatabhyesha Shloko Bhavati. Up to that, we have to go to understand this Apavada. This Apavada Prakaranam is used until then. And Apavada literally means negation. Apavad means to negate. Shankaracharya calls by another name also. He calls it Pravilapanam. Pravilapanam, or it is we can understand that as dissolution or resolution. Pravilapanam. As the very word shows, it is nothing but dissolving the karyam into the karana. The karya means the effect, dissolving the effect into the cause. And the karanam itself into its karanam. Because for every karanam, there is an immediate cause and ultimate cause. So you dissolve the karyam into its immediate cause. And that becomes the effect of the previous cause. So you dissolve that into that till you reach ultimately to the fundamental cause or the Moola Karanam. Moola Karanam Brahma. So and the karanam itself into its karanam and so on till we reach Moola Karanam Brahma, from which you can no more dissolve anything because Brahman is the Moola Karanam. Now when we say dissolve or resolve, how do we really do that? The resolution is just by removing the additional guna that we gave. So karanam plus guna equal to karyam, that's what we saw earlier. Or we can rearrange the same equation to say karyam minus guna equals karanam. For example, if you take the shirt, shirt minus fabric namarupa is thread. Thread minus thread namarupa is cotton. So from Brahman, we can no longer remove namarupa because Brahman is namarupa rahitaha. It is beyond any namarupas. It is without any namarupa, with no attributes. Similarly, we can go on to resolve the grass body into Brahman also. As we resolve these, what happens? We are going more and more towards the Moola Karanam. So when we resolve each one of those grasser elements, we go towards more and more towards the Moola Karanam, the ultimate cause. It is actually an internal journey, as it were. Not only that, as we go more towards the Moola Karanam, it gets also subtler. For example, in Adhyaropa, what we did, we went from subtle to grass. From Brahman, we went from Brahman to Prithvi, which is the grassest element. Whereas in Apavada, we go from grass to subtle. Actually, we are really retracing the path. So to say in a different way, Apavada is dissolution of karyam into karanam. That is one way of saying. We can also say Apavada is removal of namarupas. We can also say Apavada is an internal journey going towards Moola Karanam. Or we can also say Apavada is going from grass to subtle. All will mean the same thing. Okay. Now going further, how are we getting to the dissolution? Because if we really have to dissolve the karyam into karanam, it will really amount to the destruction of the karyam. That is how you can dissolve karyam, by destroying it. In the case of shirt, for example, we have to tear the shirt to get the fabric. If you have to share to come to the fabric, we have to share, tear the shirt into pieces. And again, we have to tear, make the fabric finally go to cotton. We have to make so many modifications, destruction. That requires a lot of work. If you, for example, if you mean body should be dissolved, would mean what? Body should be destroyed. Body should be killed. Here the dissolution is not any physical process at all, but is in the form of understanding, in the form of knowing, in the form of wisdom. So pravilapanam in the form of jnanam. Pravilapanam in the form of jnanam. Then we have to understand, how can knowledge do the job of pravilapanam? How can wisdom or understanding can do the job of pravilapanam? That is where Vedanta comes. If we take the example of shirt, our own previous example, we understand that the shirt does not have an independent existence at all, but only it's a nama rupa. It is a name and form. That is, I shift my vision from the shirt to the fabric, to thread, to cotton ultimately. I am shifting my vision from the shirt drishti to fabric drishti to thread drishti and ultimately to cotton drishti. We still recognize the shirt as existing because it borrowed its existence from the fabric, which in turn borrowed its existence from the thread, and ultimately the thread borrowed its existence from cotton. So shirt does not exist at all, but seems to exist having borrowed existence from thread. The moment I shift my vision, the fabric becomes sat and the shirt becomes asat, or mithya, or nama rupa, an illusion. No substance called shirt at all. That is what I conclude the moment I shift my vision. This is called dissolution. So dissolve the shirt into fabrics without doing physically any destruction whatsoever. This shift of drishti or understanding from karyam to karanam, that is called resolution or dissolution of karyam into karanam. Dissolution of the effect into the cause. Now the pravilapanam can be defined in another way also, perhaps. It is understanding that shirt is mithya nama rupa, is the pravilapanam of shirt mithyatva buddhihi. Mithyatva buddhihi eva pravilapanam. Or we can say the in Tattva Bodha language that anatma is mithya. Actually, again, I have to refer to Tattva Bodha. We will see in detail the various terms that are used here when we have the discussion on Tattva Bodha from next week. Because I realized that even though I did this as a continuation of my previous lectures on Shikshavali to my regular classes, people who are attending in general, new people may not be able to understand certain terms that we use in Vedanta. So it may be beneficial for all others also if I can start the course on Tattva Bodha, which we'll do it from next week. So pravilapanam is reducing a thing into anatma. Mithya is anatma, atma, anatma, atma chaitanyam, anatma body, into anatma. Here the Upanishad makes a small difference. The pravilapanam actually should have been through the same route by which srishti took place. If you really take srishti, the body should have been dissolved into food or annam. And from annam, annam should be dissolved into oshadi, the plants. And oshadi should be dissolved into earth, and earth should be dissolved into waters, and the waters into agni, agni into vayu, and vayu into akasha, and akasha into Brahman ultimately. So from the grossest to the subtler, and subtler planes ultimately to the subtlest. That is how we did. Instead of the original route, which I just said about, the Upanishad comes through a different route here, which is called the Panchakosha Vivekaha, Panchakosha root. These are five sheets. The body itself can be visualized as consisting of five layers. And this is taking that route instead of going from the grossest body into ultimate akasha. it went from, it is going from the other route using the five different sheets or the five different layers of the body. Actually, when we describe the body, it can be described as either made up of panchakoshas, five sheets, or it is also sharira trayam, the three types of bodies, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, stula shariram, sukshma shariram, and karana shariram. It could be any one of these two. And here the Upanishad takes the route of panchakosha viveka, panchakosha route. Here also it is going from grosser to subtler only, but with a difference. From annamaya is the grossest. From that it goes finally annamaya to pranamaya to manomaya to vijnanamaya to anandamaya, and it goes from gross to subtle only, but using this route. So pravilapanam is going to be in the form of panchakosha vivekaha. That is, the Upanishad will resolve annamaya into pranamaya, pranamaya into manomaya, manomaya into vijnanamaya, and vijnanamaya to anandamaya, and ultimately anandamaya into Brahman. That is how the Upanishad is going to evolve this discussion. So if you put in shariram terminology, for example, the three shariras I told, the stula shariram, the sukshma shariram, and karana shariram, the gross body, subtle body, and the causal body, if you take the shariram language, then the stula shariram into sukshma shariram into karana shariram into Brahman. That is how the dissolution is going to be, resolving the gross body into the subtle body, and dissolving the subtle body into the causal body, and ultimately into Brahman. How will the Upanishads do that? By the same method only, as we discussed earlier. Not that annamaya kosha is going to be destroyed. There is no destruction of the gross body. And it is not going to be destroyed and merged into pranamaya kosha and all that. It is not going to do any of those things. Here also, the job is what? Is the shift of the vision, the drishti, from annamaya kosha to pranamaya kosha. By withdrawing our identification from annamaya, when we remove the identification with annamaya kosha, the gross body, we learn to identify with the pranamaya kosha. And with the drishti, by removing the drishti of pranamaya kosha, resolving into manomaya kosha. And from manomaya to vijnanamaya, vijnanamaya to anandamaya. So it is only shifting the identification to subtler and subtler planes. When we shifted our identification, all of them, they become mithya nama rupa, or in tattva bodha language, anatma, atma, anatma. So mithya nama rupa is anatma. So what we have to understand, when it comes to srishti creation, it is not Brahman that is doing the srishti itself, it is Brahman in association with maya. So Brahman maya coupled ultimately started this creation process, and in this creation process, the subtler elements, the akasha, then vayuhu, and all the from subtlest to the grossest element, that came about. And the dissolution of the retracing the path through the apavada method, we are removing the gunas of each one of them and reach to subtler and subtler planes till we reach Brahman. That is the discussion, and the details of this we are going to see in the next week. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya ya parasa maheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Now I am going to